rather due to the situation that we face. And so, for instance, working through representative government has basically fallen flat. And of course, working through corporate media has not yielded much result, and so forth. So I say that not in any sense as any form of criticism, but rather just to say this is why I think this new approach of working through direct democracy through ballot initiatives is our best shot at really getting an actionable result with our efforts. And so that's my position. That's really kind of all I wanted to say, is that I think this is why that we need to do this. And from there, Byron or Mike can take over.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Well, first off, I just want to accent what Ken was just saying, is that there's been a great deal of effort at communication and at research. In fact, it's awesome the amount of volunteer technical data and scientific analysis that's been visited on the issue of 9/11. However, educating the people, and of course at this point the only education that we've really done is expanding the 9/11 truthers, which are people that are already converted. Now we need a vehicle to expand that to a broader constituency. In order to do that, we need an actionable item. Merely educating people when the people don't have any power to do something with the knowledge that they've acquired is sort of a dead letter. Because I'm so involved with direct democracy, it was just natural for me to come up with the idea that what we ought to do is a number of state initiatives and develop a format where these initiatives would be tied into each other and thereby create a, by initiative, a new 9/11 investigative commission. That would be appointed by the board of directors of the people who would be handling the campaign. And those people are on the phone right now with Ken, Byron, and George Ripley, who's not on the phone back east. And so what we would do would be, and I'll just give you an idea of the difficulty. We already have a draft for this for the state of California, and it requires a constitutional amendment. And so we're talking about a cost of $2 million to get it done in California. But we could get it done in states like Oregon and Alaska, and for that matter, Massachusetts, at considerably less cost. But what we need to do is to get it done for sure in one state, because that one state would authorize the commission. That legislation would contain a joint powers agreement, whereby other states passing a simple initiative that says we direct our state to join the joint powers agreement of this initiative created in the state of Oregon. And that way it becomes a straight, simple initiative, not very complex, and that the people could vote for. Since the draft of the California one is accomplished, we need a draft for the state of Oregon. And believe it or not, I've been negotiating all week long to try to get the courtesy extended to me of having the Legislative Council work with me on drafting this legislation. It has not been successful because these politicians, and I would thought that they would have given me this ability to work with their Legislative Council as a matter of courtesy. But that hasn't been the case. They sort of all duck the issue, which gives you an idea that if you can't get legislators in the state of Oregon, which is probably the most progressive state in the union, to step forward and merely extend me the courtesy of working with their Legislative Council, you get an idea of what we have, the difficulties we have dealing with representative government in getting a solution to this problem. However, when this call started and I signed on, the other call that came in on my cell phone was from a gentleman who heard my statement in a radio program that was taped in Portland, and he heads up a 9/11 truth movement in Portland. And so you can see why it was so important for me to jump off and talk with him, because I've drafted a petition that I'll send to him, and all he's got to do is get 40 citizens to sign this, and that authorizes the Legislative Council to work with me, and I'll go up next week, spend a couple days. I've already talked with the attorney on staff, and they're technically very excited about working on this because it's such a new and innovative approach from an initiative point of view. So where we're at now is we should have within the by the end of the month, next month, the text for Oregon. And then after that, I'll be able to, right now all we have enough money in the coffers is for me to fly up to Oregon to do this. But with revenues and donations coming in, I'll be able to get to Colorado and Massachusetts, Arkansas, and other states that will do this. We'll also do this in Alaska, and I already have that in motion. So that's where we're at. The key issue here is to understand that by creating a new commission under state law, it only applies within the legal limits of that state, and it would have the power of a grand jury, subpoena, put people under oath, and in some cases, depending on a corporation, get the full cooperation of police powers within that state to enhance our investigations. And now, by doing it in several states, it would mean that people who we want to subpoena, who don't want to be subpoenaed, they're hiding from us, if they travel to any one of the states where we had this initiative in place or the Joint Powers Agreement in place, they would be subject to immediate subpoena. Now, in addition to the states in question, there are several hundred local jurisdictions, New York City being one of them, that have the initiative power. And so those local jurisdictions could pass resolutions from their city council or could pass initiatives from their voters to tie in with our effort. So you can see that if with some measure of success, we would blanket pell-mell the nation with this national power to investigate, to pick up on an investigation of what happened leading up to 9/11, what happened on 9/11, and what happened after that. Now, our task is to just talk in terms of the information is such, and the record of the government's actions are such, that a new investigation is amply called for. And I think that Americans hearing that argumentation would respond. They're not buying into any conspiracy theories. They're not buying into who did it or who didn't do it. They're just buying into the simple fact that the information that's been given does not make sense from an entirely from a broad perspective. And if that's the case, and this is one of the most horrendous events in American history, then we obviously are need to make this investigation to find out what went on as best we can. So that's where we're at. The key to its success is going to be the ability to raise monies, because none of the individuals involved at this point are adequately endowed. I don't have my Senate retirement, and basically my wife supports me and I have Social Security. So, but then the same thing exists with the other members. We just do not have the wherewithal without a public finance campaign on a voluntary basis to get the job done. And it could be considerable. If this really gets going and we get a real interesting response, then we could see the ability to make this a really national wedge issue in the election of 2012. So now it depends upon getting this information of what we're doing out to people like yourselves. And our best vehicle for doing that is our website, which Byron and Ken have been working on assiduously. And we should have a rollout of that website, which will have all the pertinent information of what we're doing for people to be able to react to it, write blogs, just get a major national campaign going. And that's where we're at this point in time. Byron is the executive director, but he's taking on a full-time job, but it will still be on the board working with us. Ken is working with us on communication, and George Ripley back east is working on fundraising. So your participation in this effort would be extremely valuable and important to the cause. I'd be happy to answer any individual questions from a technical point of view.
Robin Horton has one.
Yeah, plus okay. I wanted to add a few things before we get into Q&A.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead, and then Robin, you're first, and then I'm behind you to ask questions. Go ahead.
John, let me add to what Mike said,
Identify yourself again, please, for people that are
there. It's Byron Belitzos, executive director of the campaign. We are working to do a rollout on July 4th, and so we're working feverishly to get the site up. It might be up even tomorrow. It has all the key documents on it and interactive features that allow people to participate in the campaign in different levels. And for folks like yourself, for leaders in the 9/11 Truth Movement, we'd like to invite you to be active in a variety of ways. And in particular, if I may send you a special note, which is for 9/11 Truth leaders, to request that you send out to your list something on July 4th, because we want to make a kind of a big splash on July 4th. Inviting folks to get involved in various levels of volunteer or funding and other things. And so if Jonathan or someone can send this through, we'd like to request that you do send it to your list. And in it is a solicitation, and we're very flexible as to how you'd like to do that. In fact, sharing funds 50-50 that are raised from this, or however you want to do it, you design it, and we give you a template letter. So that's pretty much the idea. And I just want to add one thing, which was, you know, we've been in a dialogue with Richard Gage about their plan to get folks to, you know, talk to their legislatures and to visit people in the halls of Congress. And I just don't think that can work, and most of us already know this, unless these politicians know that they have the people basically in the streets, and the authority of the people's voice is known to them through, and the best way to do it is through these initiatives, and they just cannot ignore that. But until something like that happens, it's futile to do these sorts of things. So we're in dialogue with Richard about changing that strategy and not getting people to go to, you know, the objective is not to get a petition to Congress, but it's to get the people to vote for these initiatives, do it at the grassroots level. So I just wanted to add that, and I think that would cover the basic idea.
Bobby.
Thank you very much, Byron. Robin, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Yes, a comment was made by Mike that this process would become a wedge issue for the 2012 presidential election cycle. I would like to know a wedge on behalf of who and against who. This sounds like a politicizing of the 9/11 Truth Movement. I want to know whether that's the case.
No, it's not politicizing at all. What I mean by a wedge issue is an issue that becomes somewhat controversial. And this would be controversial because the politicians would be shying away from getting involved. And what you want to do is, as people are seeking public office, and meaning that they're going to act responsibility when they acquire public office, that whether they stand on a proper investigation. And so that's what I mean by a wedge issue, that you'll be able to confront people running for office, Democrat, Republican, whatever, asking where do you stand on having a citizen's investigation? Because at some point we may need, and I don't want to anticipate that, but we may need political assistance in this regard, and that would have to come from elected officials. That's what I mean by a wedge issue. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Senator Gravel, thank you.
Okay, before I ask my question, does anybody else want to get on the stack to ask questions?
Yeah, I have a question. This is Sheila.
Sheila, I'll put you behind me. Who else would like to be on the stack?
And Jonathan Mark.
Jonathan, who else? Okay. My question, I'm really glad Byron and Ken are here both, because when I did my recent interview with Ken on the Kevin Barrett Show, I forgot to ask him the one question that had motivated me to get him on in the first place, or, you know, that I thought was going to be the key question for activists, and that would be, what about this idea that has, you know, we've heard so much about the possibility of a nationwide link-up, a sort of an internet or radio, whatever, link-up around the anniversary of 9/11 to galvanize financial support for this project. Is there any further development about that?
Ken, respond to that.
Yeah, let me speak to that. This actually an idea I put together many, many months ago, and it's both independent and tied into the topic at hand, so I'll address it both ways. The idea is that, you know, for 10 years, many of us have done local events around the anniversary. We've certainly done many here in the Bay Area. And they're pretty much independent. And so people are kind of at choice of, well, do we want to fly to New York or do we want to work locally and so forth. And so the idea was to try to draw the movement together and unify us through the vehicle of a satellite teleconference. In other words, the way it works is that you have one or more sites that have cameras on location, and they're capturing whatever's going on at that local event and sending it up to a satellite, which then downlinks to any number of downlinks that can view what's going on in that location. Unfortunately, this takes some money, so that's the big holdup on going further with this, is we have to figure out how to fund it. And the possibility of funding it through this initiative, the budget being raised through the initiative, is part of why I'm bringing it up at this time, is that if we can raise enough money through the initiative, we can use this as a way to promote the initiative and therefore justify spending some money out of those funds for this purpose. Other than that, it's currently what we call in Silicon Valley vaporware. It's not substantial in the sense that it's not funded. But I've found that as I've introduced this idea to a lot of activists over the last many months, that everybody likes the idea. It'd be great to kind of work together in a more unified way. It's just a question of making it happen. So the plan as it currently exists would be simply this, that up to, let's say, for a number, four cities, perhaps the Toronto, the events going up in Toronto would be one of the uplinks. San Francisco might be, New York would almost certainly be, and one or two other locations perhaps. We'll have to figure that out if this really moves forward. They would be the uplinks, and they would have an hour or two out of the day to have their best speakers and have them give short summaries of what it is they are speaking at length on their local event. And for instance, in the case of Toronto, they would have to find a way to sum up their four-day event in probably less than 2 hours, much as Alex Jones did when he was on C-SPAN in L.A. A number of years ago, where he did a weekend event, and when C-SPAN stepped in and said, okay, we'll broadcast your event for no more than 2 hours, they restructured their entire event to sum up what they did over the entire weekend in just those 2 hours, so it would go over the air on C-SPAN. So a similar thing would need to happen in New York and in Toronto and any location that was an uplink. They would have to give the distilled essence of their entire event in a very short time and put that up on the satellite so everybody could view it. And part of the beauty of this idea is that anybody with even a very modest budget in their local area could get a downlink so that they could receive whatever was sent onto the satellite from any of these locations. And then there would also be time left, of course, for local events and participation. So anyway, that's the basic idea. As I say, until it's we figure a way to fund it, it doesn't really tangibly exist. But since everybody likes the idea and since there's the possibility of getting at least part of the funding through the initiative campaign, if we can raise enough money, I'm just throwing it out there, and that's what you asked about, Ken.
Thanks, Ken. Sheila?
Yeah, hi.
One thought I had was that there are some people in the 9/11 Truth Movement who are extremely wealthy, such as Charlie Sheen, for example. I know it was publicized that he was earning close to $1 million per episode for his work on, I don't know, Three and a Half Men, I think it was called.
Over 2 million.
I'm sorry?
It's over 2 million per episode.
2 million per episode, okay. There's also Daniel Sunjata, who's a TV star, and I'm sure Alex Jones is a multimillionaire. Wouldn't it make sense to hit up a few of these people and you could maybe, you know, cover the costs without having to, you know, just scrape a few dollars out of every last truther?
We need to do both. And Ken and Byron, along with myself, have hit some of these angels. We haven't hit Charlie Sheen or the other individuals that you just mentioned. If you have a way to get to Charlie Sheen, that's the biggest problem we have to going after the wealthy and celebrities. Unless you have a personal contact, it's very, very difficult to get their attention and get their money. But there's no question, we do have to go after every last donation in the movement. We do have to go after angels, a combination of both. And obviously, as you go after the ordinary citizen, angels will appear. We got a donation of the first week of $1,000 from one party, and then I just noticed that yesterday we got a donation for $600. So the well-to-do will appear if we can make the knowledge of what we're attempting to do as broadly based as possible.
And we have pitched some wealthy people already who, kind of the message that came back was, this is interesting, but we'd like to see that there really is a grassroots groundswell for this, and perhaps come back to us, because we'd like you to, you know, it's a fledgling organization, it's risky to put big money into this. Let's see what you can get from the small donations. And I think that makes sense. And that's really what we're doing in this rollout on July 4th is to the grassroots. And one of the reasons is to show the big donors that we are doing that, that this is truly the people, the grassroots. So that's another way to look at this.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Before Jonathan goes, does anybody else want to get on the set?
Anna Yisley, I'd like to ask a question.
All right, Anna, you're behind Jonathan. Anybody else? Go ahead, Jonathan.
Senator Gravel, this is Anna Yisley. You mentioned about the legislative council, that each state would have a legislative council that we would contact. Is that part of the initiative? And I wasn't quite clear as to what you were saying, but it would have power of grand jury subpoena. Is that what we should be doing in all our states, is to attempt to contact a legislative council with this?
No, not at this time. That's my job, incidentally. I'm 81.
That's your job, not just in the state you're from, but in all the states?
Yeah. The legislation was, I thought it up. I'm not an attorney. And so when drafting legislation for California, I met with the Legislative Council and we drafted a piece of legislation that was legally acceptable. That's the key thing. Otherwise, you can get the judiciary to throw it out. And so in the state of Oregon, which is even better from a legislative point of view, I want to work with the Legislative Council. I just don't want to file an initiative that has not gone through the hoops of their own legal institution. So at most, now, we won't go to every state. We will only go to states that where the time element is such that we can get it done. Like Alaska, we could file it at any time this year. In Oregon, the same thing. And then we go get the signatures. In Oregon, we need less than 100,000 signatures. In Alaska, 30,000. In Massachusetts, it's less than 100,000 signatures also. So in drafting, once we draft the one for Oregon, then I will use that template to go to other states and draft and get involved with their legislative councils and draft an initiative that permits that state to tie on to the Procedures Act, the Joint Powers Agreement that we would have in the law that's passed in Oregon. And we probably will design this so it's not only Oregon, but it could be Massachusetts, it could be Alaska. As long as we're sure we can get one initiative passed that will put in place the Joint Powers Agreement, then we have the vehicle for other states and other locales to go ahead and join the Joint Powers Agreement. Does that answer your question?
Yes. So as far as the people who want to contribute towards this effort or this initiative, what are you having us to do at this point besides fundraising, or is fundraising the main thing?
Fundraising is the main thing because in other words, we'll have enough money for me to get to the various states and work out the legal aspects of this. But then the key is to go ahead and fund the collection of signatures so that we qualify these initiatives. Like if you use the criteria of Massachusetts, we got a proposal, and I'm getting proposals for other states from professional signature gatherers. Now, we obviously have a lot of volunteers, but within the industry, it's really recognized that one-third can come from volunteers, but two-thirds has to come from paid signature gatherers. And a signature gatherer makes about $1.50 to $2 per signature. So you see, if you need 100,000 signatures, minimally, you got a minimum cost of $200,000. But then after you've got the issue qualified, now once it's qualified, we'll begin to get some free media time, because now it becomes an issue in that particular state that's going to be presented to the people. And of course, that's the win-win for the entire movement. If we were to fail entirely, what we do is we generate a great deal of information about 9/11 and a great deal of concern and frustration, and that of course is all beneficial to establishing a real solution to find out what the hell happened.
Annie, this is Byron. I want to add something important, which is that in the interim, if a person is not interested particularly in fundraising, the other way to participate is the things that Mike mentioned, but even anytime soon, you could take the resolution. We have a generic resolution that you'll see at the website, and there's kind of a widget that you click to get to that. And you can develop a campaign working with us right in your locality to get a resolution passed in support of this. And one of the models of that, if any of you are around the early 80s, is in like the Nuclear Freeze campaign. And where the resolutions all over the country, you know, finally forced Congress to pass the nuclear freeze. And we think this is a great way to get all of us kind of on the ground locally working on this. And even, you know, funds will come in as a result of doing these resolutions when people see what it's about. So that's you'll see that at the website. It's another way to get involved right away.
Yeah, let me correct that slightly. The nuclear freeze movement, which lasted about 18 months, raced around the country, and more jurisdictions and more people voted for this resolution than had ever voted before. In fact, when it got to Washington, it passed the House of Representatives unanimously. It got to Reagan's desk, and of course he threw it in a drawer, and that was the end of it. And the reason was, this was a resolution, a glorified, essentially, poll is what the, but that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is a law. We're not asking people to vote their opinions in a sense where it has no force of law. We're asking people to vote for an initiative that will create this commission, and that will be the law of that state when it's enacted, not a resolution.
Yeah, this is Ken Jenkins. I just want to add, I think another model that is helpful to understand how this works is what happened after the passage of the Patriot Act, where local jurisdictions, primarily city councils, passed their own sort of countermeasures to the Patriot Act. And this ended up happening, I believe, in hundreds of local jurisdictions where the city councils, in a sense, nullified certain aspects of the Patriot Act in terms of their own local enforcement. So the point is that there are ways to participate locally in essentially every state. It's not limited just to the states that we might get it on the ballot in, that every person in any jurisdiction where they can go to their city council and take this resolution that Byron mentioned, which will be detailed on the website, and get a local buy-in to this. And that also broadens the jurisdiction when and if this is passed, let's say in Oregon or whatever state, and the subpoena power is limited to Oregon, it then gets broadened to all these cities and local jurisdictions that buy into it. But do I have all that right, Mike?
Yep. Very much so.
And in the interim, these resolutions would not have a binding force of law, but it's a good exercise to get acquainted with what this is and to take the resolution and get it passed and then build upon that as we go forward.
And as we build upon it, because after the initiative is enacted into law in one state, if a city council has already passed a resolution endorsing the idea, then it would not be a far stretch to go back to them, since they've already had one bite of the apple, and ask them now to tie in to the Joint Powers Agreement. And that way we expand the jurisdiction of the commission.
So it's real grassroots.
Is the website, this is Anna Yeisley, I didn't get the website address. Is it still Citizen 911 Commission?
No, we've changed it, but that will still work. It's 911cc.org. 911 CC for campaign commission campaign. 911cc.org or 911cc.org.
That works too.
Yeah, or you just put the whole thing in 911commissioncampaign.org.
The Citizen 911 Commission, is that .org or .com?
That was .org. The old one, yeah. Because we did change the name, folks, to officially the 911 Commission campaign.
And you changed the name of the whole thing or just the website?
Of the whole thing. Yeah.
And why was that? I kind of like the Citizen 911 Commission. Told you exactly what you're on about.
That was controversial, you know.
That's the answer. That's our goal. What we're doing is the campaign. And so that's the reason why we muddled through this and figured out that really what we're doing is the campaign to bring about the commission. And so our goal is the Citizens 9/11 Commission. But our activity is the Citizens Campaign.
It sounded more dynamic, Annie, to say it's a campaign. So,
but you can still use the other.
Yeah, you can still use that if you like.
Yeah, we secured a whole lot of different URLs, so any of those will work.
The Joint Powers Agreement that you talked about, is that going to be explained? I don't understand what that is. Is that
okay.
State-by-state thing?
Yeah, let me try my hand at that. There's two avenues for states and various government jurisdictions to work together. One is a compact. A compact, when it's created between states, has to be blessed by the Congress. So that would be a dead letter if we pursued that. A joint powers agreement is different than a compact in one respect, and that is you don't need the Congress, and there's nothing stopping a number of states of joining together saying, okay, we want to do this together. Now, if they decide that, then the procedures of the compact are what are not the compact of the joint powers are what's operable. These procedures are very straightforward. All it is the appointment of a commission, and the commission vested with grand jury powers. That's essentially it. It's that simple. That we sign on to create a new investigative commission and to give it the powers that we have within this jurisdiction. Now, there used to be in the old days grand jury powers that the citizens could initiate themselves without the government. And that was famously looked upon by the powers to be as a very dangerous undertaking because they had a lot of runaway grand juries where they would investigate anything and everything. And so the laws were passed to limit that activity, and that's what we want to try to put back in place, is to re-expand that by joining a joint powers agreement and throwing in the grand jury powers that you have in your jurisdiction. So look upon it as a bucket, and everybody that wants to join in jumps in the bucket with their grand jury powers. And that bucket, which is the commission, now has a geographic spread of what it can do across the nation. And one good example, the state of Texas has over 50 local jurisdictions that have initiatives. Well, if we were to get most of those jurisdictions in Texas, though George Bush may not want to make himself available to be subpoenaed, he'd be very limited to Crawford in his travels.
Anna, hold it. Before you go any further, I think we have to share the floor here, and you did jump ahead of Jonathan. Jonathan, do you still want to ask a question?
Yes, thank you. September 8th, I'm planning on doing an event in Northampton, Massachusetts, regarding the campaign with architects and engineers to do tabling and a press conference in front of the courthouses. And I'm hoping that if you do reach Richard Gage and crew, that they'll be recommending that everybody doing this on that day would also be supporting the 9/11 Citizens Campaign, or the new name. That evening, I'm showing the premiere of the new Architects and Engineer film that's premiering that evening on September 8th. I would like to know from Ken if you have a DVD that I can also show of this campaign.
We have two things currently in video. One is already on the website. You can go view it now, and that's just a brief interview with Senator Mike Gravel on these topics. That's not what you're asking for, but just to let you know that's there. The other video that we're going to be offering as kind of a premium if for people that pledge $20 or more towards this campaign is an event that we recently did with Bob Bowman and Mike Gravel here in Oakland, and I videotaped that, and that's going to be available as well. Whether that would be suitable for you, you'll have to decide after you see it.
Oh, I'm sure it would. We got some very good reviews on that discussion, Oakland.
Yeah, let me add one point there, too. With respect to protesting in front of community buildings, government buildings, that's great, you know, but it to be very candid and not to minimize it, it's more therapy for the people doing it than for actually bringing about results. Now, if you could take that protest and tie it in to try to get that jurisdiction to pass a resolution, now you got an actionable item. Yeah, the important thing is to distinguish between a communication and actionable item. A communication is giving you information, and that's it. An actionable item is something that permits you to take that information and do something with it that is concrete. And that's the difference between what has gone on with the movement, 9/11 Truth Movement. Thus far, it's been a communication. We now want to turn that effort into a laser type of focus on this specific action to cause the people to make a decision in the initiative process to have an investigation, not just talk about the problem.
John, this is Jonathan again. Thank you for that, Senator. I'm very interested in it, and I'd be glad to work with you as much as I can in Massachusetts and be of influence elsewhere.
Whereabouts in Massachusetts are you located, John?
I'm around Northampton, Massachusetts, the central... Hey,
great. Well, I'll be going out to... Here, take my email address. It's mg@mikegravel.us.
Right.
And then what I'll do is you send me an email so I have all the information about you. And Massachusetts is a very, very good venue. I don't know if you know, I was born in Springfield. And so I know the state very, very well, and went to school in Worcester. So I would really would contact you, and we would try to touch base with truthers in Boston, Northampton, Springfield, Worcester, and I'd make a tour and at the same time work with the state government, their legislative council, on making sure we got a good draft of a piece of legislation. Massachusetts would be a great state. I was very surprised. It doesn't take that many signatures to get on the ballot. It's less than 100,000. And so it's a big state, a big media state, and so it'd be very, very important for us to get an organization going there.
Well, we have a good truth movement, especially in the eastern part, and I'm in touch with them. So when I write you, I'll CC those other Massachusetts truthers.
Please do, and then when I go there, I will go there to be under your auspices.
Wonderful.
Senator?
Excuse me, this is Ken Jenkins. Can I just jump in for just a second here? I got an email from Richard Gage that touches on two issues we talked about, so just to update everyone. One is he's going to help put us in touch with Alex Jones,
okay.
and the other is that we are, all three of us are in touch with Richard. As many of you know, I produce Richard's videos, and he's very supportive of what we're doing, and it's very likely once we talk to his board that he will modify the September 8th actions to incorporate what we're doing.
All right.
It really needs. I've been on the teleconferences, and there's something missing there. So I would like to encourage Senator Gravel also to do an essay regarding actionable, work, and just exactly what you said, basically.
Yes.
It could be press released on each of these issues. It'd be really helpful.
It's already there at the website, the old website, and you'll see it at the new. It's called Actionable. Working on 9/11 with actionable agenda or something of that nature. You'll see it there. Very nice.
Great.
All this stuff
will be spelled out on the website if it isn't already, and if it's not there, you tell us and we'll get it there.
Yeah, and that's a very important element as you're beginning to recognize between for volunteer groups to distinguish between what is actionable and what is communication. And so if we get that message across, that will motivate a lot of people to get involved.
Yeah.
Robin,
can I add one thing, Senator?
Excuse me, Robin. I heard Robin's name, and then who else would like to speak?
Phil Restino regarding the Massachusetts.
Okay. Robin, and then Phil. Go ahead, Robin.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm asking that the group reconsider reinserting the word citizens into the overall name of what you're doing. I think that's the key to where we're going right now. When it sits as a 9/11 commission campaign, it sounds to me like what you're doing is reinforcing the existing 9/11 commission report. I think it's a big mistake. It's not as big as the Building What campaign, which was a disastrous name. But I really feel that if you want citizens involved, and that now is the time to do that, that you just let people know that you're dealing with citizens, please reconsider. You've made, I think, an error in your judgment.
Well, we had one person on our board that you must have talked with him. George Ripley felt very strongly about that. So I think your voicing that right now will cause us to revisit that.
Here, and I have it memorized. Citizens, 9/11. Commission.com. It flows.
Or
the campaign.
Or.com.
It's a citizens campaign.
What is the URL?
Commissioncampaign.org, Jonathan. .org.
I get there by .com too.
Yeah, we have .com as well. Yeah.
Oh. And here's the good news, Robin. Citizens is the first word on the very top of the banner at the website, so it's right there.
Great.
So it doesn't
say
11 in the URL. It's just
whoa. Next was Phil. Does anybody else want to be on the staff to speak?
Phil Restino?
Yeah, Phil, you're next. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Senator. I'd like to echo Robin's comment about the citizens. I agree. Number two, the city of Worcester, Mass., was one of the cities that passed a resolution recently calling for an end to the war, bring the war money home. So they may be receptive to your efforts, Senator. And the third of three items is that Veterans for Peace National passed a resolution in 2009 demanding a new 9/11 investigation. And what I've been trying to do is encourage military veterans to join their local chapters and get the chapters to enforce, this resolution. So, and I know you're a vet, Senator, yourself, and that's one more thing we can do is as far as bridging the anti-war left with 9/11 truth. This is something that's already in place, and there's about 100 and some odd chapters across the country.
Boy, if you wanted to take on that task of helping communicate with all those chapters, we could prepare a missile, a letter to be sent to them asking for their endorsement and support. Because you're quite right. I've enjoyed throughout my career as a activist the support from the Vietnam Veterans Against the War and the Veterans Against the War and all of that. So you're quite right. I still get all my meds from the VA.
And Bob Bowman's a major Vietnam veteran, Vets for Peace, 9/11 truther, and we all know Bob. So it might be a good way to bring two camps together on a common effort. Thank you.
Hey, guys, this is Bob Bowman. I've got something to say briefly before I leave the call.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Bob. Why don't we take a break in this question and answer here with the others? And give you an opportunity to do any kind of updating you'd like to do.
This is tied in. Yeah, just
go ahead.
The activities that I was planning, like running against Obama and whatnot, have been put on hold because my cancer has flared up, and I'm going to have to go back into chemotherapy.
Oh, no.
And the last thing I did was my speech in Oakland for Mike Gravel in pushing his Citizens Initiative. And I am hoping that I get finished with the chemotherapy and back on my feet and whatnot to participate in events around September 11th. And whatever I do, it will be pushing the Citizens Initiative and whatever I have strength to do for this, I will.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
And that's considerable because when you see the tape of Bowman's speech in Oakland, the two of us spoke, but I must admit he was the powerful one. So. So we'll, Bob, we wish you well on your chemo, and then we know we're going to have a strong voice when you get back on.
Yeah, and keep me on the list for this teleconference,
oh, sure.
Even though, I may not show up for a month or two. I just don't know.
Okay.
Absolutely, Bob. Be strong, Bob.
Thank you.
Does anybody have a comment for Bob? I think he's gone, actually. Are you still here, Bob?
I haven't hung up yet, but I was about to.
Okay, does anybody wish to have make a comment to or have a question for Bob?
Good luck, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
By the way, I'm very happy that the teleconference has dealt with a concrete issue of something that we can do and has gotten away from all the bickering. I was about to give up on the teleconference because of all of the bickering back and forth between people, and I'm glad to see you got on the right track.
Thank you, Bob. I don't think you're alone in that sentiment, but thankfully we have something to focus on here. Anybody else wish to speak to Bob before he leaves?
I'll email you that movie again. I don't know if you saw it on Dr. Brzezinski, but he has a targeted cancer approach and a film on it that's online. So can I email that to you?
Sure.
Okay. Bob, I was going to mention that to you, too.
Well, we got a lot of noise.
Yeah, Star 6, if that's going on in your background, thank you, whoever flies it. Yeah, okay.
I have to leave now. I know that you have a couple of agenda items that have to do with me, but I have a 7:30 appointment I have to leave for.
Well, I doubt that we're going to have time for much else. It's already well after 7, so I'm afraid we're going to have to postpone our other business.
Well, that's why I'm leaving now, so you wouldn't be able to do them anyway. So.
Will we have a bi-monthly one here? Will we have one in 2 weeks, perhaps?
Well, right. That item is one we're not going to miss on our agenda. But I just want to make sure that everybody's had a chance that wants to make any questions or comments regarding what we've been presented tonight from Senator Gravel and his crew.
I actually went to the site, citizenscampaign.org, and this has nothing to do with 9/11. It's Citizens Campaign for the Environment, is that website.
It's Citizens 9/11 Citizens. Campaign.
Okay, they said citizenscampaign.org.
Yeah, but we misspoke.
Okay, Citizens 9/11 Campaign, thank you.
That's the old address, yeah.
Okay, this is the address we're still using?
No, the new one is 911cc.org.
Okay.
Yeah.
The old one,
yeah,
Sheila.
Citizens911commission.org or .com.
That was the old one, which will still work.
It's going to be confusion until the 4th of July.
Okay. So I can still find information at citizens911campaign.org?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not campaign, it's commission. Citizens 911.
I think it's commission. Citizens 911 commission, as I recall it,
.org.
Oh, commission. Okay.
But 911CC works
you.
Now.
Fly-by
news.
Next time.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Moderator, can I add an actionable item before people go? This is Byron.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything that they did not get an opportunity to ask regarding the Citizens 9/11 Commission campaign? If not, then let's go ahead and make an agreement about our next meeting. We did have a bi-monthly meeting this time. Do we want to do that again next time, or do we want to make it a monthly meeting again? The floor is open for proposal.
I would propose a bi-monthly. There's just so much going on right now in the creative development. This is Robin Horton.
Hey, Robin, would you like to propose a date for that?
Well, I don't have a calendar in front of me. Does anybody?
Well,
yeah,
I was wondering if we can do just...
Why don't you move it to every second Wednesday? Just have them every 2 weeks. It's very easy.
So second or fourth Wednesday until we decide otherwise, Jeffrey? Is that your proposal?
No, I'm just saying every second Wednesday, regardless of the month. You know, the next one would be 2 weeks from today, and then 2 weeks
okay,
after that.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm getting distortion. Every other Wednesday. Every other Wednesday. That's tougher than second or fourth. Second or fourth is easier to project, okay?
Well,
yeah.
Okay, I don't care.
Second or last, it doesn't matter, but the point is that you can that way plan around it. It's more difficult to project in the future which one's going to be every other, but it's not difficult to look on a calendar and see when the second and the fifth are, the second and the fourth, okay?
Yes.
So I would prefer to do it that way if somebody has a problem, okay? So do you want to make it second or fourth or second and last? What are we doing right now, Jonathan? Last Wednesday, is it?
Well, just do it second and fourth.
Second and fourth.
No, we can do second and last. It doesn't really matter.
Most of the months are all 4 weeks there, so second and fourth won't confuse anyone.
All right, second and fourth
November
Wednesday.
November is the fifth month, but that's the only one.
Okay, second and fourth is the proposal. Does anybody wish to speak against the proposal to have our conferences regularly on the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month? All right, then. The next one will be on the 13th of July at the same time. Any other comments or questions before we leave?
This was Byron, and I didn't actually get to say what I thought I was okay to say. Was that? Did you miss that?
No. I didn't say. Go ahead, Byron.
I just wanted, as the actionable item for folks on this, is that we are doing the rollout on July 4th. We'd like those of you who support this to explicitly be sponsors. We'd like your logo or whatever to put on the site as a sponsor. So contact us to do that. And in addition, there is, as I mentioned, a letter that we'd like to invite you to send out to your list, to your membership, inviting them into this. So contact us for that as well, if you would like to start with our rollout on July 4th. Okay, everybody?
Should we just include your email in the minutes?
Yes, please do.
Okay. I got Byron's email address.
Great, Jonathan. Please be sure Anna gets that, okay?
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Okay. Anything else before we leave? It's quarter after 7, and I appreciate everyone's participation and cooperation tonight. I apologize that we were not able to get to a couple of the items on the agenda, but there's always next meeting, okay?
Now, we have an MP3 of the, can we get an edited version?
Let me look at the console again here, but I think when you heard that announcement saying this meeting is being recorded, that was the beginning of the recording. So hopefully, I'm going to end it now, if I can get there. And hang on just a second, and we'll see what it says.
And if you can send that MP file to me, and I can transcribe
it. I'll make it available to everybody, including you, and everybody will have access to the MP3 somehow. We'll put it online someplace, okay? But you will have access to it for reference.
I'd like to recommend editing it to basically just have Gravel's presentation and team.
No. No. We don't have anybody that's empowered to edit anything right now, so I don't think we can go there. Yeah.
Slow. Thank you, everybody. See you later.
Thank you, Senator Gravel. It was wonderful.
Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Gravel.
Good night.
Excellent call.
Good night, everyone.